Hey, everybody. My name is Jalen Flores, and welcome to my first podcast. Ooh, never thought I'd actually, get the balls to do this. I know it's not that original of an idea. I kind of wanted to get in podcasting because for a really long time, I thought it'd be cool to start a YouTube channel. And I know all of doing a podcast or a YouTube channel are both so drawn out and they're just really saturated industries right now, right? YouTube more so than podcasts, but still, everyone's starting a podcast now, especially people who are already in YouTube. But yeah, when I was younger, when I was like maybe 12 and I didn't even really watch YouTube yet, I'd only seen a couple like beauty videos, and that was back when everyone was doing like the, you know, get ready with me's and, you know, Forever 21 hauls and, cute Valentine's Day treats and, you know, stuff like that, whatever. And I was just really not that into it at the time. And I was like, you know, why is no one real? And no one's actually gonna, you know, go make Valentine's Day treats and bring them to school. You know, I was like, why is nobody real? And little 12-year-old Jalen was like, oh, I should make a YouTube channel that's real, you know, that's just relatable about everyday life, you know, things that people actually are gonna do and find useful. Well, I am now almost 19 years old, never did that, and I feel like it's kind of too late. Not that it's ever too late to do something that you really want to do, but I just don't really want to do it anymore. So I think having a podcast is actually really cool, even though I call it kind of a saturated field. I definitely think it's still getting bigger and definitely a lot, there's still a lot of room for new people to come into it, you know. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I think it's a really cool platform though to use your voice. I think it's so cool that we live in a day and age where literally anyone can put anything out there. I mean, yes, it's cool, but it's also kind of dangerous because people take advantage of that and abuse the fact that they can use their voice for negative things. But I think it's awesome that anyone, literally anyone, can create, you know, stereotypical celebrities, not stereotypical, but I guess people that you typically think of A-list celebrities, they really had a hustle back in the day, you know, before social media, before YouTube, before podcasting, and before it was a lot easier to blow up like it is now. You know, were just this hungry, struggling actor or actress, or you were, you know, a singer or maybe a rapper just handing out, you know, mixtapes on the street, or, you know, just hoping to be discovered by someone. Now you don't have to be discovered. Now you can discover yourself, you know? So, I know, just a little backstory on why I want to start this podcast. I'm kind of nervous though, because it's hard. I'm sitting in my bedroom, literally alone, home alone, no one's at the house, just chilling, talking to myself. And that's fine, I guess, but it's weird that I have to remember, okay, I'm gonna want to talk like I'm talking to actual people. So that's what I'm gonna try to do. So today, for our podcast number one, we are gonna be talking about embarrassing or weird or just creepy, well, maybe not creepy, but just childhood stories that I think are either funny or and or traumatic. So let's get started. Number one, we have a first crush story. What's better than that, right? So remember when you're little, or, you know, kind of little, when you're like young in school, in elementary school, and you're reading a book as a class, you know, before you were into like chapter books, you read picture books as a class, and one person will read a chapter at, or not a chapter, like a paragraph at a time, and then you say popcorn, and then you pick someone else. I hope I'm not the only one that like whose school did this, but that's kind of what we did. You read like a couple sentences or a paragraph at a time, then you popcorn, and then usually it's like your best friend or, you know, the person you have a crush on, whatever. So me, little Jay, having my first ever crush, I think this was first grade, I read my paragraph and then I said popcorn, and then I picked my crush, right? Which is like no big deal. I mean, it's not that sly, but I guess it was kind of like me shooting my shot in a way, whatever you want to call it. And he was not there that day. So let's just call him Ben. So I read my little paragraph and I said, popcorn Ben. And everyone starts giggling. And I'm like looking around and I'm like, what, like confused. Everyone's laughing. And then the teacher, not even like someone sitting next to me or a friend that can just lean over and whisper to say, oh, you know, Ben's not here today. My teacher in front of the whole class goes, Jalen, Ben's not here today. And I was like, oh my God, that's heartbreaking, right? So that in itself was so embarrassing for me, even though it doesn't seem like it was that big of a deal, because it probably wasn't. I'm just being dramatic, but it was a big enough deal to remember for the past almost 15 years. So that's that. But something ironic about this story too is that Ben, we'll just call him, being my first crush, it was, you know, short-lived, and I just thought he was cute. You know, it was just a little elementary school harmless crush. But fast forward to my sophomore year of high school, he was in my honors English class. So he was always kind of like the hot boy. He was really athletic, and we sat next together sophomore year because we were maybe not friends per se, but good enough friends where we just kind of gravitated towards each other, given who else was in the class, I guess. So we sat next to each other, and we just kind of started talking a little bit. There was another girl that sat by us, so the three of us kind of became friends and worked together in groups when we had the opportunity to. So I kind of redeveloped like a little baby crush on him, right? It wasn't anything major. It's not like I thought about him all the time or wanted to date this boy, but I just had this little crush on him, or when I saw him in class, I like got excited to talk to him, but it never went beyond that. And this one time, my other friend was driving me home or something, maybe we were just hanging out, and he was telling me this really funny story about his sister who had a crush on this guy. I don't remember his name, but I know it was four letters, so let's just say it was Luke. Yeah, he was telling me how his sister had a crush on this guy named Luke, and he was just making fun of her, and he was like, oh my God, she's so in love with him, and she won't shut up about it. She even made his name her phone password. So to me, I was like, okay, that's so funny. Like, that's just like textbook, you know, something that you, like, one of those just over-the-top things that you do when you have a crush. I was like, that's hilarious. So I was telling my other friend, my girlfriend, this. I was like, oh, yeah, so-and-so told me that his sister made her crush's name his her phone password. Because this was back when iPhones had four letters or four numbers as the password instead of six. So my friend is telling me, she's like, oh my God, that's hilarious. I was like, yeah, I thought that was so funny too. She goes, you should do that. I said, oh, should I? Okay. So I did. It was a joke. Okay. It was a joke. Remember, his name is Ben for this, for the sake of the story. I feel like I'm telling the story really badly. Sorry if you can't keep up. I don't know. It's really hard to know if this is making sense because there's no one here to like bounce it off of me, you know, to be like, oh, Jay, like I'm losing you. So hopefully you're keeping up. But yeah, my friend was like, oh, you should totally do that too. Like, that's absolutely hilarious. So it was really just like an inside joke between the two of us, right? So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do that. So I made his name my phone password. I did like Ben and then his last initial or something. So I just, you know, you get used to your phone password. You don't even think about it after a while. It's just like you barely even know what the numbers are. You just know, like your finger just knows where to go because it's a pattern. You do it all the time. And this, of course, this was before the fingerprint scan on iPhones. So I kept it for a while, even though my crush on him had ended. And I just never thought to change my phone password. And then eventually Ben started talking to this other girl, which was totally fine because no beef towards this other girl, no beef towards Ben. Nothing ever came of this little innocent crush. You know, we still had the class together. We were just friends. We chatted a little bit, but nothing ever went beyond that. We never talked outside of class. We never hung out. But I still had his, like the letters of his name correlated with the numbers of my phone password just because it was funny at the time and I never had cared enough or thought about to change it. So then there was another girl that knew that I had this little innocent crush on Ben. But this girl who was my friend that knew about my crush was also the friend of Ben's new girlfriend. And me and my friend, the friend who's the mutual friend of Ben's girlfriend, we sat together at lunch. And she saw me unlock my phone one time And she was like, Jalen, can I see your phone? So I was like, sure. So she turned, you know, hit the little side button to turn my phone off and then turned it back on so that she could log into it, and had realized that my – that the letters of my password were Ben's name and his last initial. And she was like, Jalen, come on, like, that's so weird. She was giving like me like a really hard time about it. She was like, you know, he's dating so-and-so. And I was like, oh no, that's literally, it's not a big deal. I don't have feelings for him. Like, that was literally just a joke between me and someone else. And she was like, really? So I was like, yeah. So she's like, okay. So she seemingly let it go. But then maybe 8 months or so later, when I literally, this situation never occurred to me again. I never thought about it twice. I changed my password after that incident at lunch with my other friend. Never thought about Ben, never thought about Ben's new girlfriend, you know, nothing. Like I said, this is 8 months after the fact. So this is into my junior year of high school. Me and my friend, another friend, I know I'm telling this story so badly because I'm not giving any of the friends names. So just try to keep up. Me and my other friend are getting ice cream at this place, back home in Wisconsin. I don't live in Wisconsin anymore, but at the time I did. We were getting ice cream, and who walks in? Ben's girlfriend. So I say to my friend that I'm getting ice cream with, I was like, oh, like, look who it is. Should we say hi? And she was like, no. And I said, oh, why not? And she was like, she literally hates you. I was like, what? And she's like, how did you not know that? I was like, I don't, what do you mean she hates me? I was so confused. I was so taken aback. She was like, yeah, she... this rumor went around that, Ben's name was your password, and she tells, you know, the whole, lacrosse team that you're like this big fat bitch. And she even told her club lacrosse team that, and, like literally anyone that will listen to her, she'll just like vent about you. And I was like, what? That's hilarious to me. Literally, I wasn't even mad about it. I thought it was so funny. To be honest, it was kind of flattering. I was like, okay, you want to spend your time talking about me, whatever. I thought it was so funny. I mean, it's kind of sad. Still, literally still no beef to this girl at all. I ended up bringing up the situation to Ben's girlfriend a couple months after the fact. I was like, hey, I heard you've been saying XYZ about me. I really don't care. Like, that's not really my problem, but I just think that you should let it go. And she got all defensive and whatever. So that girl still hates me. But that's fine, because whatever, doesn't faze me. So lesson learned. To story number two. This one's a little deeper and definitely caused some childhood trauma for me, but it was another crush story from elementary school. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but I'm 18 right now. I'm going to be 19 in August. So I'm young. Obviously I'm a teenager, but I'm old enough to kind of have seen things in society evolve, right? So I am a black woman. Well, I'm mixed race, but I have brown skin. I'm a black woman. And I went to elementary school, middle school, and high school all in the same school district. And it was very, very white. It was super, like, I don't know. All I can say is that it was super duper white. In high school, my freshman year, I could literally count. I could name you all of the black people that I went to high school with pretty much. And it was super duper white. I had some issues, not with bullying necessarily, but there was a lot of racism that went on just throughout the years, a multitude of problems. And something that I remember going really far back to was something that really opened my eyes to the racism in the world. It was another childhood crush in elementary school. I was maybe 7 or 8 at the time, and it was this boy that I really, really liked. As much as a 7 or 8 year old kid can like someone. And he knew that I liked him. A lot of girls in the grade liked him. He was just kind of the it boy. But I thought that we were friends. It's not like 7 year old me needed a boyfriend or anything, but I liked to talk to him, you know, like any innocent childhood crush. And this one time we were we were playing tag on the playground together at recess, and it wasn't just him and I playing tag, it was a group tag. But of course, I specifically wanted to get him out because that's what you do when you have a crush on someone when you're a kid. So I'm chasing after him and chasing after him and whatever, and I think it's all fun and games. And then I don't even know how it got to this point, but basically I was about to tag him and he was like, stop, stop. And he was like getting really rude and yelling at me. And I was like, what? And he was like, stop trying to tag me. I know you have a crush on me. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I immediately was all sheepish and got defensive and was just like kind of freaking out internally. And he was like, I know you have a crush on me. I know you have a crush on me. And he was like, stop, stop. And I was like, what are you like? What do you mean? What are you talking? Like, what? I was so confused. And he goes, I'm never going to like you. And if that wasn't enough to break 7-year-old Jay's heart, he goes, I'm never going to like you. You're black and I'm white, and black people and white people don't go together. And I just remember, it's not even, I wasn't even crushed that he had said that to me because I didn't fully understand it. I was more so crushed because he didn't like me, right? But I was like, black people and white people shouldn't be together. I was really confused. I really didn't get it, especially because, like I said, I am biracial. So that made no sense to me because obviously black people and white people can be together. You know, any two ethnicities can be together because, hello, look at me. There's plenty of interracial couples and interracial families. So that, I don't know. That's just thinking of that. Really makes me sad, not for me, but for just the world and for society and for any kid that's ever had to experience something similar to what I had to go through. And that was kind of just the catalyst for all these other racial disparities that I experienced throughout my schooling years. But I just have hope that, you know, the world can change. And I really didn't mean for this story to get deep or emotional or anything. But it is just really eye-opening to think about that. Think about the trauma that can have on a little kid. Think of how damaging that can be to a kid's self-confidence, self-esteem, you know, and what kind of ideas that fills into a child moving forward. And that really makes me think of what kind of parents that kid had. Think, you know, because you, it's not, that's not okay. You know, people need to take responsibility for the way they raise their kids and the content that they put in their head and the ideas that they fill them with. And that's so, so wrong. But whatever, I'm over it now. Me and that kid actually ended up being friends later in life. We're not friends now, but it's funny because in high school, he was kind of like an F-boy and he ended up hitting me up later in life, and as well as many of my friends. But that's besides the point. So that was just kind of traumatic, but just something that was also really eye-opening for me. And even though I don't think that I deserve that to happen to me, and I don't think anyone else deserved that to happen to me, I'm almost glad that it did because it was a learning experience and it just made me stronger in who I am as a person. So now to keep things go back to being a little bit lighter, the third childhood story that we have is, I don't even know, I might cut this one out. I don't even know if it's that funny, but I remember when I was younger or when I told my friends about this story, I thought it was hilarious. Every story so far has pretty much taken place in elementary school, but this is another one from when I, did I just trip over my words? Does that even make sense? This is another one from when I was in elementary school. So I mentioned earlier that I grew up in Wisconsin. I don't live there anymore, but I did for the majority of my life. And in Wisconsin, it is very, very cold and very snowy in the wintertime. You know, it's in the Midwest. And so during recess, when you're in elementary school, when you're young, you're not allowed to go on the playground unless you have snow pants and snow boots because I don't know, whatever the reason may be, they don't want you to complain about being cold, or they don't want you to be all wet when you come back inside from recess. But that was the rule. You had to have snow pants and snow boots if you wanted to go on the play structures because they were covered in snow. But if you didn't have snow pants and snow boots, then you could then you had to stay on the blacktop because they like plowed and shoveled the blacktop so there wasn't any snow on it. But that's, you know, what fun is that? You're just gonna you're going to make a little kid pace in circles the entire recess just because they don't have snow pants. No, it's kind of bogus, but whatever. So I had these really cute little pink and gray snow boots that I liked. I didn't mind wearing my snow pants and snow boots out to recess. I wanted to play in the snow. And I had these boots for the longest time, but eventually they started to wear a hole in the heel. There was like this little rubber part like at the bottom, the sole of the shoe. And then connected to the sole was the actual boot that was, I don't know, cotton or whatever a snow boot is made out of. In between, or like where the rubber and the cotton part attached to each other, there was a hole forming. So I kept getting things stuck in the hole. And you know how on a playground, there's all different types of whatever you want. Like, the ground is always different. It can be sand, it can be wood chips, it can be pebbles. So on my playground that we happen to have, it was these little pebbles. It was like a bunch of little rocks. And since I had a hole in my boot, I kept getting rocks all up in my boot. And I was just not having it anymore. But I had to put up with it because I had to wear my snow boots if I wanted to play in the snow. So this one time, I go up to my kindergarten teacher because I have just had it. You know, I'm like, I'm so sick of getting rocks in my boots. I just want to play in the snow. I can wear my tennis shoes as long as I have my snow pants. It's fine. Like, I'm just going to ask her if I can just wear my tennis shoes instead of my snow boots. So I ask my kindergarten teacher and I tell her exactly what I just told you guys, that I have a hole in my boot and then I keep getting pebbles in it and it's driving me insane. I said, can I please just wear my shoes instead of my snow boots? And she goes, you know what? Just wear your snow boots today. If you get rocks in them again, then you don't have to wear them tomorrow. So I said, okay, cool, I can do this. So I go outside and I'm playing in the snow and, you know, all is all good and fun and whatever. And then I come back inside and I realized, I was like, oh my God, of all the times I've gotten rocks in my boot today, I didn't get any freaking rocks in my boot. What the heck? Like, she's gonna think I'm a liar. She's gonna make me wear my snow boots tomorrow. Like, I can't have this happen. So, and all of this is like flooding through my brain as we're lining up to go inside. So right before we line up, or right before we actually go in the building, I grab a handful of pebbles and I stick them in my shoe so that I don't look like a liar, even though I technically am formulating a lie. So we get inside and we get back to the classroom. And as I'm taking off my snow pants and my snow boots, I say, look, rocks in my boots. What did I tell you? And she sits there in silence, looking very disappointed. And I'm like, what? And she tilts her head and puts her hands on her hips and goes, Jalen, I saw you put rocks in your boots. And I was like, sitting there, not responding, thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my God, do I lie? Do I play dumb? Like, how far do I take this? Do I tell her I'm sorry? I got rocks in my boots all these other days, and today was the one day. I was like, what do I do? So my solution is to play dumb. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I got the rocks in my boots. And she's like, Jalen, I saw you put the rocks in your boots. Oh my God. That's such an anticlimactic story. There is no peak to that story whatsoever other than the fact that she caught me in a big fat lie. And ever since then, I've never forgotten it. Okay. Moving on to the next childhood story. So this wasn't even childhood, really. I mean, I guess kind of. I was 14 at the time. It was freshman year. And I was a mess. I was the freshman of all freshmen. It's not like I was a loser. No one's a loser. That's whatever. But it's not like I was like a dweeb or anything. I wasn't uncool, you know. But I was a mess. I was that kid that didn't realize that their backpack was open. I carried around my bag lunch and my textbooks were like too big for my bag. And I was always in a rush. I was running in the hallways. I was constantly late. I am chronically late all the time. It's such a problem still this day. I've never learned how to be on time anywhere. But freshman year, especially because in elementary school, you start school at like 9:20 or something super absurd. It was really late and the kids totally got to sleep in. And then in middle school, you don't start until I think it was like 8:15 or 8:30 or something like that. And then in high school, you start at 7:20. And I am not a morning person at all. Like, the only way I'm a morning person is if I actually stay awake at night until it becomes morning. So I was always late in high school every single day. But conveniently, we had my first, it wasn't really a class. It was like we had study hall for 20 minutes every morning my freshman year. And my study hall was literally maybe like 15 paces away from the door that I entered in the morning. So it gave me a lot of spare time because I could literally just get there like 15 seconds before the bell rings and then sprint to my class and still make it on time, which is exactly what I did every single day. So this one day, like I mentioned, I grew up in Wisconsin, went to high school in Wisconsin. So it was, the winters were super snowy, really icy, whatever. So I have my backpack on and I'm carrying my paper bag lunch, not even like a lunchbox, my actual lunch in a paper bag. And I'm booking it from my car because my mom dropped me off in the morning. So I'm booking it from my car. You had to run up these stairs through the entrance doors. And then I was sprinting in the hallway. And mind you, the hallway is already kind of wet because everyone has to walk through the snow, you know, in the parking lot. So when they come in, their shoes are wet. So the floor is already kind of wet, especially because they haven't dried off because it's the morning. So they just, everyone just got them wet and is just getting to their classes. And I'm right about to get, I'm like right in front of the door. I'm turning a corner. I'm about to get into my class and the bottom of my lunch falls out and all the contents of my lunch just roll and disperse in opposite directions. And I am losing my mind. I'm already an emotional wreck. I was just this unstable 14-year-old little kid who couldn't wake up on time. And also, I'm a really – sorry, this is a kind of a detour in the story. But I'm a really, really picky eater, right? Like, super picky. I eat, like, Gushers and, I don't know, freaking deli meats and chips and whatever else. Not at all healthy lunches. So I remember this day, what made my lunch fall out was that I had a can of lemonade in a paper bag, in my lunch bag. I had literally put a can of lemonade with also a really big apple in addition to like my Gushers and all this other crap that I was going to eat at lunch. So I put like probably like 2 or 3 pounds worth of food in this one paper lunch bag, thinking that it would be totally fine. So I'm already late. I'm sprinting in. My backpack is wide open. My lunch bag falls out and all my food disperses everywhere. I fall to the ground just so distraught, so embarrassed, so mortified and disappointed in myself and mad that I didn't even pick up my food. I literally just sat on the ground sulking in pity, right? And my apple is rolling one direction, my lemonade is rolling another direction, my, you know, chips and my Gushers are about to get stepped on by other people in the hallway, and it's just a big old mess. So after like sitting on the ground for a good 15 seconds questioning my existence, I finally start to pick up my stuff and just put it right in my backpack rather than back in this broken bag. So I'm trying to clean up my lunch and put it in my backpack for later. And I go in one direction to get my lemonade and I put it in my backpack. And then I'm looking around and I'm like, where's my apple? And I look up and I see that it's still rolling. Still rolling. May I mind you, I dropped my lunch like 30 to 45 seconds ago. It's still rolling down this long ass hallway. And as I see that it's rolling, I look up from staring at my apple on the ground to see the hottest, probably most popular senior guy in the school. And he lifts up his toe to stop my apple. And then he looks at me, and then he looks down at the apple. And then he looks at me, and then he looks down at the apple. And then he looks at me again, and I'm about to cry. And then he picks up the apple, and I have to do this walk of shame to go retrieve my apple from this super hot, way older than me, super cool, super popular guy. And it was so embarrassing. And I did all of this just to be late for my class. I didn't make it on time. I was an absolute mess. I literally so clearly remember texting my mom and being like, Mom, please turn around. Please come pick me up. I can't do this day. And she's like, Jalen, you're fine. Like, you're being so dramatic, which I obviously was. But it was so embarrassing. And funny, that guy actually has me blocked on Instagram now. No idea why. That's totally besides the point. Never talked to him other than that one encounter in my whole entire life. But it was so embarrassing, and I still hate myself for it. So now let's move on to the next story. Fast forward to very recently, less than a year ago, because I just – sorry, dropped my phone. I just ended my freshman year of college. So this was just at the beginning of this school year. I don't live on campus. I'm a commuter. So it was kind of hard for me to meet people because when you go to college, you know, your immediate best new best friend that you make are your roommates, right? Or your suite mates, whatever you have. And then you kind of just get to know the people in your hall, or you go to parties, or you just get used to seeing the same people at the food places and the restaurants on campus, or at, you know, sporting events, whatever. But I didn't really get any of that because I wasn't on campus that often. So it was welcome week, and I really want to take this opportunity to make friends right off the bat because I knew I wasn't going to be on campus a lot because I'm a commuter. So my other really good friend from Wisconsin also goes to the same college that I do. But we both go to college in Arizona. So we were the only ones that each other knew going into college because it's not a super well-known college, and we didn't know anyone else that was going there, basically. But she lives on campus and I live off campus. So during welcome week, I text her up and I'm like, hey, you know, you want to meet up? I'm on campus. I'd love to see you. Let's hang out. So she's like, yeah, cool. So I go to her dorm, and her roommates invited some people over. So it was a group of guys and girls, and all of us were meeting for the first time. So these are all just first impressions. And immediately when this other group of people walks in with her roommates, it was, you know, like I said, a group of guys and girls, I lay my sights on this one guy. Let's just name him Kyle because I don't actually remember his name. I set my sights on this one guy. I'm like, wow, he is so cute. That is a guy that I'm interested in. I'm going to take this opportunity, whatever we do while we hang out in the dorm, I'm going to try to talk to him specifically. So the group ends up playing this game, and him and I ended up getting partnered up in this game, and it seems like everything is going well. You know, we're kind of hitting it off. We're making – it was better than small talk. A lot of times, you know, when you meet someone new, even if you want to talk to them on a deeper level, it always starts off very just small talk-like, and you're kind of forcing conversation a little bit, but it really wasn't like that at all. I thought we were making good – conversation, and then we hung out in her dorm for maybe 2 hours, and then everyone kind of is going back to their rooms, and I was the only commuter that was in this group of people. So I, as everyone's going back to their rooms, I have to go back to my car. So Kyle, who I like, offers to walk me to my car, and I'm like, wow, that's so sweet. And it's making me just like him even more. So we're having a great, really, really great kind of deep conversation just about our religions and our goals in life and what we're excited about in college and what high school was like for us, and kind of talking about our parents and our families and our, you know, our hobbies and our likes and our dislikes and the sports that we play, everything that you can think of on this walk to my car. It's kind of a long walk. It's a big campus. And we finally get to my car, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, Jay, ask for a Snapchat. Or not even that. I'm like, please, Kyle, please ask for my Snapchat. I'm saying this to myself in my head. But he didn't ask, and I was too sheepish to ask him and make kind of, you know, the first move. So I'm like, you know what, whatever. No harm, no foul. Hopefully I'll see him around, you know, again. It's, you know, we go to the same college. Hopefully we'll have a class together. His and my majors kind of weren't the same, but we're similar so that we would have to take some of the same gen eds and whatever. So I was like, okay, fingers crossed I'll see him again. So I get home kind of late at night, and my mom asks me, you know, oh, how was you know, did you have a good time? And I was like, yeah, oh my God. So automatically I'm telling her about Kyle, how cute he is, what he looks like, what we talked about. And I was like, oh, I really, really like this boy. He made such a good first impression. I really want to see him again. I hope I see him around campus, whatever. So she gets really excited for me and she's like, oh, you know, that's great. And then the school year starts and I think I bumped into him probably one time. Yes, I did. I did bump into him one time when I was on campus. It was at night and I had just moved into a house in Arizona. That's where I go to college. We had just moved into our house, so we weren't totally done unpacking. So I couldn't find my backpack. So I had to use this hiking backpack until I could find and unpack my actual backpack that I wanted to use. And this hiking backpack is huge. And it's really, really big. It's really clunky and it's kind of it was really embarrassing to have to use it as a backpack for like the whole first week of college, because that's when you make the most first impressions, you know? So of course the first time I bump into him after initially meeting him was when I'm carrying around this huge hiking backpack. And he was nice enough, you know, it's not like he picked on me for it or anything, but I just remember being really embarrassed by it and just trying to play it cool and make conversation. Then, you know, he's like, oh, well, it's good to see you. But I still didn't ask for his Snapchat and he didn't ask for mine, didn't get his Instagram. I didn't even know his last name, so I couldn't find him on anything. And so we, you know, go our separate ways. And again, I'm like, oh, you know, that sucks. I really just want to talk to this guy more and I want to be friends with him at least and get to know him more. I hope I bump into him again in the future. Like, I just keep wanting to see this kid. So I told my mom, I went home, I told my mom, oh, I saw Kyle again today. She's like, oh, that's great. Did you get his number or anything? I was like, no. She's like, come on, Jay, like, just do it. So I was like, okay, hopefully if I see him again, I'll build up the confidence to just ask him, right? So my brother also goes to this college. He transferred. He's 2 years older than me, so he transferred as a junior, but I started out as a freshman. And he lived on campus, though. He wanted to get the college experience. I didn't really care about having, you know, the typical living in a dorm college experience, but he did. So he lived on campus, and I lived at home with my mom. But even though he wanted the college experience, he still wanted my mom to do his laundry and buy him food, and he didn't have a car on campus, so we had to go pick him up a lot. So this one time, it's me and my mom in the car on the way to pick up my brother, and as we're driving to his dorm, guess who walks by? None other than Kyle, right? So all the windows are up, but I'm still nervous that he can hear me because he's literally walking right by the car. And I lean over and kind of in a low register voice, I say, Mom, that's Kyle. Kyle's walking by the car right now. I'm like freaking out. I'm panicking. And what does she do? None other than embarrass the heck out of me. Just whatever possessed her to suck my soul right out of my chest and embarrass me in the worst way possible. She rolls down her window and goes, Kyle, starts yelling his name. I was mortified. My first instant reaction is to just duck, right? I'm so embarrassed. I don't even know what to do. There's no words formulating in my brain at all. I'm just so flustered. I'm so embarrassed. How many times can I say embarrassed? I'm so embarrassed by my mom just wanting to get Kyle's attention. So she rolls the window down and starts talking to him. And because she apparently can't think of anything normal to say, she starts talking about the things that I told her that Kyle and I talked about. And it's so, oh my God, it's just awful. It's an awful situation. So I'm trying to duck, but eventually he kind of sees me, which makes this whole situation even worse. So I'm like, hi, Kyle. And he's like, hey. And he's so confused. And it's just, you can tell he just wants to get out of there as soon as he can, as do I. So the conversation finally ends, and it was just a bunch of, it was just a bunch of gibberish. It was not about anything important, but my mom just wanting to get his attention and embarrass me, because if I can't make a move, then apparently she has to do it for me, right? So we drive away finally, And I am just about to come to tears. And my mom thinks that she is freaking hilarious. She's like laughing and giggling and thinks that it's all lighthearted and fun and games. And I am just furious. I am pissed beyond belief. I just give her the silent treatment because, oh, that'll show her, right? And then she feels bad, of course. Oh, are you mad at me? I'm sorry. I just thought it was funny. I just wanted you to talk to him. Da da da. Whatever. I was so mad. I know she did it all in good fun. I apparently embarrass easily. I don't know. But after that, I'm like, well, I hope I never see this boy again in my life. I never want to have to confront him again. I never want to have to make eye contact with him again. And of course, before this god-awful, embarrassing incident, I only saw him one other time, with the exception of when we first met, in the span of like the whole first 2 months of the semester. After this incident, though, of course, I see him everywhere and I always have to avoid him and it's so awkward. And eventually, just this one time, I was like, you know what, this, I'm so sick of just getting forced into these awkward scenarios. Next time I see him, I'm just gonna like go up to him and try to smooth things over. So that's exactly what I did. Next time we ran into each other, I was like, yo, like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean for that to be so awkward. My mom's just really embarrassing sometimes, like she just is goofy, like, I don't know where that came from. I hope you're cool about it. Like, it's just, let's just put it behind us. Let's just laugh about it, right? And he was nice, you know, he's a nice kid, but you could tell he had no intention of being my friend after that. So that really sucked. But I never saw him again. I've never run into him since that last time that I, you know, tried to smooth things over, and that was probably 6 months ago ish, if not more. So that was really awkward and really not fun for me, but whatever. Now at least I can look back and laugh, but I probably wouldn't be doing a lot of laughing if I saw him again. So Kyle, if you're out there and you're listening to this, even though your name's not actually Kyle, hit me up. I'm sorry my mom embarrassed me and probably embarrassed you, but he is just really cute and really hot, and I still would love to be his friend. Anywho, moving on to our last and final story. Wow, I'm so proud of myself. I sat down to record this podcast and I talked for 1 minute. I tried to get an introduction out of the way and it was just so clumsy and I was tripping over my words. I still do that, you know, I still have been doing that throughout this podcast, but I kid you not when I say I got through 1 minute. I think it was 1 minute and 8 seconds. And I stopped and I put my phone down and I was like, yep, no, this was a bad idea. There's no way I can fill. My goal was 30 minutes and now I'm at like 40. So good for me. And with that being said, let's go on to our last and final story. But this one's kind of long. It's really creepy. Even though I said at the beginning there wouldn't be creepy stories, they'd mostly just be embarrassing. But this one is weird and out of a horror movie and just so bizarre and something that is so unlikely to ever actually happen in real life, but it did. It happened to me and I'm here to tell you all about it. So back home in Wisconsin, like I've said for the thousandth time, I had this neighbor, this family that lived next door to my house, and they were all super duper nice. There was a dad and a mom and two like teenage / early 20s age-ish boys, and they were all really, really nice. The boys and the dad more so than the mom, but the mom was really still a nice person, but she was just very strange. And every time you talk to her, you're like, oh God, what's going to come out of her mouth? You know, what is she going to do? What is she going to say? But you never want to make things uncomfortable because, first of all, you know, that's my next door neighbor. And second of all, I really just have so much respect and appreciation for the boys of the house because they're just really nice. And the dad, he did a lot of very kind neighborly things, like helped us plow the driveway. And we used to have a peach tree. And one time he like walked over to the backyard and picked up all the peaches that had fallen and he canned the peaches for us. Like he's a really, really nice guy. So you don't want to, you know, cause any bad blood between you guys just because his wife is kind of weird. But so it all started a while, this was a couple years ago. The very first just strange incident that we had was actually an encounter that my mom had with the wife. We'll name her Melanie for the sake of the story. So my mom is out getting the mail, and Melanie, it happens to be outside, and you can just tell right off the bat that she's drunk. And my mom's just kind of trying to ignore her, just, and you know, go out, get the mail, get back in the house. But of course that doesn't happen. Melanie approaches my mom and is like just trying to make conversation at first, which is fine. But then it ended up escalating into Melanie asking my mom for favors. And my mom felt weird about it. But at the same time, it's like, that's, you know, that's your neighbor. And you kind of feel weird saying no. My mom's a nice person. So she just wanted to help her out. And, you know, she's thinking, okay, well, if Melanie wants, you know, this favor, I'd rather just help her do it rather than her go, you know, be out and about drunk trying to do things. So mom's like, okay, whatever, let me just help this woman. So Melanie asks my mom if she'll drive her like to a gas station, into a liquor store, into a hotel, into the bank, and all these weird places. And my mom's like, what the heck? So on the way to their first location, my mom calls me while Melanie is inside whatever store that they happen to be at. And my mom is like telling me the situation. She's like, Jalen, like, Melanie is just being so crazy. I don't trust her. I'm feeling very uneasy and uncomfortable about this. Just stay on the phone with me until I get back home. I'm going to put you like in the cup holder. Like, I'm going to put my phone in the cup holder so that Melanie doesn't know I'm on the phone. But I just want you to stay on the line in case anything happens. So I'm like, yeah, okay, like, for sure. That's weird. So she goes and runs all these errands, and it's just a bunch of weird things happen on this trip. Like, Melanie asked my mom to take her to a hotel, even though the hotel sign said no vacancy, and she asked my mom to take her to this bank that was way across town, like super far and inconvenient and out of the way, and just all these really strange things. But eventually my mom and her get back to the house. Melanie goes to her house. My mom comes back to our house, and it all ends up being fine, but it's just very bizarre. So then a couple months later, my family is out of town, and my great-grandma was watching our dog for us. And the same situation happens to my grandma. Melanie came over, knocks on the door, and asks my grandma, my great-grandmother, to drive her around. So my grandma is more hesitant because she doesn't know this woman, you know. And so she goes, let me just think about it. Give me a second. She closes the door, and then my great grandma calls up my mom and is like, hey, like, your neighbor is asking me to run errands for her. Like, should I do it? Is she, you know, a normal like person? She just is giving off really weird vibes. And my mom is like, no, don't do it. She's not a bad person, but she just will make you run, you know, all around town and go on a wild goose chase. Just, you know, just tell her no and say, I'm sorry. Like, I can't today. So that's what she does. And then, so that's, you know, nothing bad happened, but it was just, again, a very bizarre situation. Fast forward another couple months, and Melanie is outside on the street barefoot, like making weird noises, tripping on things, running into mailboxes, stumbling around, just being very drunk and obnoxious. And keep in mind, I live in the suburbs. I live in white suburbia, just very, very calm, mellow street, typical white picket fence, like green grass. Everyone, you know, is all families on the block, 2.5 kids and a dog and whatever, just that little corner house. It's very, very suburban. Okay. So this is just very much so a ruckus in the neighborhood because nothing this, you know, weird ever really happens around our area. So Melanie has quite a few of these little outbursts where she just is outside kind of causing commotion, drunk, acting just, you know, kind of obnoxious. And then fast forward another couple months, my mom and I are sitting at home watching Dancing with the Stars, eating our dinner, just enjoying, you know, a nice chill night. And knock, 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 who's at the door? None other than our neighbor Melanie. But this time, Melanie is drenched in blood. And I know this does not sound real, but I swear on my life, I promise you, I am not making this up. I couldn't if I wanted to. Drenched in blood, head to toe. She was in a white shirt. She's looking like the cover of Carrie, okay? She's just, when I say drenched, I mean drenched. I don't mean just like like a blood dripping down her head, or just like, you know, a spot of blood on her shirt. I mean, just like, just covered in blood. Her hair looks like it's dyed red, and it's all over her face, and it is just the goriest, nastiest sight you've ever seen. And she is standing there, and goes, "Will you take me to the hospital?" Well, what the hell are you supposed to say? No, this woman literally is dying on our front porch. So I stay home, because even though, yes, it would have been so much fun and such a crazy story to, you know, take part in this, my mom is trying to protect me because I was kind of young at the time. And she's like, no, you stay home. I'll go take Melanie to the hospital. So my mom doesn't want to let her in the house for a good reason. So she goes, okay, go around to the side of the house in front of the garage. I'll go open the garage door for you. I'll meet you out there. So she goes, okay. So my mom goes and she opens the garage door, and then she goes and gets towels to lay down in the car so she doesn't get the car seats all covered in blood. And by the time my mom gets outside with the towels, Melanie is nowhere to be found. And my mom's like, oh my God, is she like passed out somewhere? Did she die? Like, did she take off? Where the heck is she? So I was like, Melanie, Melanie. And Melanie goes, in here. And she had let herself into the car, just standing up the seats, all full of blood, literally walked right into the car because the door was unlocked. The car door was unlocked because it was in the garage. But once the garage door was open, Melanie just let herself in, I guess. So her mom's like, oh God. So my mom brings towels anyway, even though Melanie has already done the damage. They drive to the hospital. My mom calls me and says, hey, can you go get her husband and her sons and tell them what's up? Tell them this is the hospital that I took her to. So I'm like, yeah, of course. So I go and I knock on the door and I kind of give them the rundown on what is going on and what the situation at hand is. And they were obviously concerned because, you know, that's their mom and their wife. And so they're worried about her, but you could tell that they were just irritated. They were just fed up with her bull. They kind of, you know, were like rolling their eyes, like, oh, not again, you know. So we're like, okay, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for letting us know what's up. Like, we'll go and handle it from here. So I'm like, okay, well, I did my part. I can sleep, you know, well tonight knowing I did what I had to do. And so my mom gets home from the hospital and basically tells me that the doctor said had my mom not taken her to the hospital or even taken her maybe half an hour, an hour later, she would have died. So that's just so crazy. And then, you know, police showed up and were doing a report asking, you know, my family questions, asking Melanie's family questions, looking at Melanie's house. And they had no idea what she could have gotten this injury from. They don't know how it happened, how she got covered in blood. She had this gash on the back of her head, but they didn't know really how it happened. So it's still kind of a mystery. But I mean, Melanie is, as far as I know, she's fine now. She's not my neighbor anymore, but I saw her. I lived next to her for years after that incident. And it was always kind of, you know, weird after that. How do you come back from a situation like that? But, you know, you just move on. But yeah, that's probably one of the craziest things that's really ever happened to me, because that, who does that happen to? That happens only in movies and apparently also in my life. So that is the last story I have for you guys today. Thank you so, so, so much if you made it to the end of this podcast. I'm hoping to do these really frequently. I had a ton of fun recording this. I have a lot of great ideas and new content in the works and coming out for you guys. I really appreciate if you made it to the end. Stay tuned for the next episode. All right, thanks. Bye.